Life is easier if you can live what you believe. Therefore, it's important to know what it is you believe. Then you can live it. If you're trying to live differently than you believe, it takes a lot of energy to do that. So we have a statement of our belief at Daleville Christian Church each time we gather together. And this one for the second Sunday of the Easter season, week after Easter, from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in Rome, the first chapter, the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word for today is from the 28th chapter of Matthew, last chapter of Matthew, verses 5 through 10. This is the first Easter morning, the Sunday morning when Jesus' tomb was empty, and some of the events at the tomb. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of this holy word. We just heard read what the angel said at Jesus' empty tomb. Matthew chapter 28, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." From Mark's gospel, we read the words from the angel, "But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Mark's gospel and Matthew's gospel are in agreement. It seems that Jesus wanted to meet the disciples again after the resurrection in Galilee. Galilee is where they all first met. As it is recorded, these are the instructions from the angel, the angelic presence at the empty tomb. Luke and John do not take notice of these instructions. Now, John's gospel gives us more information about a meeting in Galilee, and we will get to that in a little bit. But John does not record these angel words. However, there is one key agreement between all the gospel writers, and that is that the disciples did see Jesus again after his resurrection from the dead. It seems remarkable to me that Mark's record states, "Tell his disciples and Peter." Wait, wasn't Peter still a disciple? Or was there some doubt in someone's mind, maybe even Peter's mind, that the whole denying Jesus three times put Peter outside the group? Could that be possible? Hey, I'm just asking questions here. It's okay to ask questions. Jesus said, "Ask seek, knock. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever denied knowing someone when you, in fact, did know them? Have you ever lied about being someone's friend, as in saying you were not their friend when, in fact, you were their friend? Well, if either of those situations have never happened to you, then I guess we'll have to play a little game of just suppose. Just suppose for a minute that one of those events had actually happened to you. You either lied about a relationship or someone's relationship to you was lied about. They denied even knowing you. That would put a strain on your relationship, would it not? There was a popular song a few years ago that touched on this issue of relationships. The situation in the song was a broken love affair between a man and a woman, and each of them complains about the other, "You treat me like a stranger, and that feels so rough. Now you're just somebody that I used to know." Here are some of the lyrics. "But you didn't have to cut me off, make out like it never happened, and that we were nothing." And the woman also sings, "But you didn't have to cut me off, make out like it never happened, and that we were nothing. But you treat me like a stranger, and that feels so rough." So clearly, some people today have had a similar experience of having an intimate treat the other like a stranger, and that feels rough. But in Jesus and Peter's case, there was never any closure. Peter's denial, those were the last words that Jesus heard Peter speak before Jesus was crucified unto death. Peter's denial were the last words that Jesus heard Peter speak before Jesus was crucified unto death. But before we get much farther into this, here's another question. Suppose that someone lies about a relationship. What happens to that relationship? It changes the relationship, doesn't it? Doesn't lying about a relationship bring the whole relationship into question? I mean, if a married person has an affair while lying about being married, what does that do to the marriage? Or even in a more modern relationship, the couple are significant others to someone and they go out on their partner saying they are not in such a relationship yet. What will happen to that relationship? Well, one thing is certain, that relationship is going to change if it can still be a relationship. Haven't you ever watched Dr. Phil? I can't recommend that as regular television viewing, but I remember that some guy had married three women and the wives knew nothing about the others until the Dr. Phil show. And now the three wives are confronting the man because he had kept the other wives a secret, and they were all very angry with the man. Now, I didn't follow that program to its conclusion, but I'm pretty sure that by the end of that show, that man was a triple divorcee. Right? Lying about a relationship can end a relationship. Now, you and I remember that Jesus knew that this denial of Peter's was going to happen and even warned Peter that it was going to happen. Mark records it in chapter 14. "Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times.'" Peter remembered the word of Jesus, Mark says, and he broke down and wept. Matthew similarly reports, "Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, and he went outside and wept bitterly." Why do you think that Peter cried after he denied Jesus? Peter was sad that Peter had done that, right? I want to suggest that it goes a little deeper than that. Peter was not sad or angry that Jesus was right, right? Jesus was always right. Jesus had always been right. I've come to believe that Peter wept bitter tears because Jesus knew Peter better than Peter did. And Jesus was right about Peter. Peter thought that he could be true to Jesus, even when the chips were down. Peter thought he could man up to the relationship, even if everything was going against him. But that isn't what happened, and that is not who Peter is. That's not who Peter was that night. Peter's fears were greater than Peter's willpower. Peter's own fears were bigger than his relationship. When the chips were down, Peter folded. And Peter did not know that he was that kind of person. I'm sure that if I found out about myself that, or I found that very thing out about myself, that I would be upset to discover that I am the kind of person who would deny a relationship. To discover that my loyalty and love have limits, that my faithfulness isn't very faithful at all. That stuff I've been thinking about myself all this time, like I'm a good friend, those things might not be true at all. And for me, it would be even a little harder to grasp that I didn't know that about myself. That would be hard for me. I believe it was hard for Peter to see it happen. But Jesus did know. Jesus knew Peter was that kind of person. That Peter would throw a friend under the bus. That Peter would let someone else take the blame for something Peter was a party to. Jesus knew that Peter was that kind of person. Peter didn't know that until that moment the rooster crowed and Peter wept bitterly. So the word comes back to Peter on that Easter morning. Jesus is alive and he wants to see you all, including you too, Peter. Jesus isn't forsaking the relationship, even if Peter publicly and verbally said there was no relationship. Jesus has forgiven Peter, or Jesus already planned to forgive Peter. Jesus had said as much in Jesus' prediction of Peter's failure, and really all the disciples' failure. Again, in Matthew, Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Meaning, of course, that Jesus will wait for them there in Galilee. Jesus would see them again after Jesus' death, and Jesus makes this claim at the same time telling the disciples that they will fail in their relationship to Jesus. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. See, Peter did not know what kind of friend he was. Not a very good friend. But Jesus, despite Jesus' knowledge of the disciples' failure, Jesus will meet with the disciples again, including Peter. So after Peter's denial and Jesus' death and resurrection, despite Peter's denial of the relationship, there is still a relationship that Jesus wants with Peter and the disciples. And it's still the relationship that Peter thought that he had with Jesus. It's still the relationship that Peter thought that he had with Jesus, and maybe even better. Peter knows that Jesus knows Peter's weakness. And Peter knows Peter's weakness, and now Peter is even stronger in his bond with Jesus. How do we know this? We know that Peter's bond with Jesus is even stronger. Notice that Jesus still wants Peter to do the work that Jesus called Peter to do. From John's Gospel in the 21st chapter, "Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And we know that Peter did give his life for his relationship to Jesus. When another opportunity came for Peter to deny his relationship to Jesus, Peter did not do it, But Peter affirmed his faith and love relationship just as Peter affirmed it when Jesus asked Peter in Galilee, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I do." How is any of this relationship possible after Jesus' death and resurrection? How is this relationship possible after this denial? After the forsaking and after the disciples ran away, how is a relationship possible? The answer is forgiveness. Maybe I'm stating the obvious here, and I remind you it never hurts to state the obvious. And to put it into words, what's obvious to you might not be obvious to someone else. Jesus forgives, has forgiven the disciples, and Jesus had planned to forgive the disciples their failure to be true to Jesus. And as many of us believe, Jesus knew this from the moment he called these men to be Jesus' disciples. He knew they just were not going to bear up under pressure, that they would fold in the hour of crisis. All of them would fold, even Peter. Peter, who thought himself the least likely to cave in. And Peter did cave in. And Peter discovers in Galilee that Jesus loved Peter that much. To know from the beginning that Peter would cave in. That Jesus knew that Peter would cave in before it happened and that Jesus would forgive it. Jesus still wanted that relationship with Peter. What this means for you and me is that our sins are probably not a blanket forgiveness. Jesus' forgiveness of Peter was very specific and personal. Peter's offense, Peter's sin, denying Jesus, denying any relationship to Jesus. In Christian tradition, that's about the worst thing you can do, right? Peter did it. Paul the Apostle will persecute the church. Paul will call himself the greatest of sinners for that reason. But Jesus still wanted Paul saved, saved to take the message to the rest of the world outside Jerusalem, outside Judea, outside of Judaism. And Paul does. Paul is saved. Paul is forgiven. And Paul serves Jesus, the head of the churches that Paul once persecuted. When you think about it, Jesus encouraged personal forgiveness. Not only did Jesus say that we should forgive, but Jesus himself demonstrated forgiveness and demonstrated doing forgiveness. Remember when Jesus was being nailed to the cross? Jesus is quoted as saying an intercessory prayer for the soldiers, "Father, forgive them." Jesus didn't pray it before he went to the cross. Jesus didn't pray that after he was hanging on the cross. Jesus prayed that intercessory prayer while the soldiers are nailing him to the cross. That's personal. Just as a contrast, one of the robbers crucified with Jesus did not need to forgive the soldiers. To that man, that robber, the soldiers were not doing anything wrong. For that robber had said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." So the soldiers weren't doing anything wrong by crucifying him. But the one robber went on to say, "But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." And so he is being punished for having done no wrong. Jesus was wronged by the soldiers. Jesus did not deserve the punishment he was receiving. The one robber acknowledged he was not wronged by the soldiers. The soldiers were doing the right thing, punishing a robber. Jesus also gave instructions in at least two instances about forgiveness and forgiveness being personal. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar." That's right, you're giving a gift to God. This is more important. Stop what you're doing. First, go and be reconciled to them, Jesus said. Then come and offer your gift. Well, it's quite a priority to put on that forgiveness stuff. And then Jesus makes it personal. Go and be reconciled to them. Go to them and be reconciled. In another chapter in Matthew's gospel book, Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you." That's pretty personal, isn't it? Jesus didn't say, "Just pray to God while you're in your prayer closet to forgive that person." No, Jesus said, "Go to them and talk about it." If they listen to you, you have won them over. We don't like to hear that, but it's in red letters in some of your Bibles, so you can't miss it. Then Jesus continued saying, "But if they will not listen, take one or two others along." So even if your attempt fails to reconcile personally, Jesus instructs us to go again. Now take a couple of other people. And if the matter still isn't settled, you don't quit on the relationship. You up the ante. Now get the church involved. That's how important relationships are to Jesus. But friends, I didn't point this out to tell you what you should do. Not at all. I point this out about our Lord because this is what Jesus has done for you and me. Jesus does not want you to quit your relationship to him, and Jesus certainly is not quitting his relationship to you. And Jesus isn't quitting your relationship to him. He's not giving up on you. Peter denied having a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus says, "I look forward to seeing you soon, Peter. Meet me in Galilee." Friends, you are likewise forgiven. You are forgiven it all, personally, by Jesus. Peter and Paul did awful things, but they did not deny the awful things they did. And when Jesus forgave them and wanted the relationship established, wanted the relationship reestablished, Peter said yes to that. Paul said yes also. Jesus knew. Jesus knows. Jesus forgives. Jesus wants a relationship with you even more than you know. Amen.